So your kid wants to play the trombone.
Yes.
And you have no idea if they're going to be good at it, if they're going to like it. Do you rent it? Do you buy it? What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to retile your bathroom, and you're never going to tile anything again, and you've never tiled anything before. You need a wet saw. Do you rent it? Do you buy it? What do you do?
Right. Okay.
Let's take a musical instrument, for instance. Mm-hmm. If this is your second year that this child is playing a musical instrument, you know, maybe it's time to buy an instrument if they seem like they're doing well with it.
Right.
And if you're going to look for a musical instrument, a tool, a piece of furniture, consider the fact that someone else has been in your shoes. Someone else has had to make this decision already, mm-hmm. and they might have made the wrong call. And now they own a very nice, whatever, saxophone, you know, drum set, whatever it is. And their child or adult has moved up past it and they're ready to sell it or something. So you could think about buying used. And when I think about buying used, I think about things like Craigslist. I think about Amazon, eBay, OfferUp or OfferUp, whatever the name of the newer one is that they're advertising. Just go onto the internet and look for that. But one place to really start is somebody who already knows this stuff. So your school probably has a bunch of musical instruments that somebody has turned in, or they might have a lead on somebody that repairs them.
Right.
Ask people who are already in the same situation. One of the downfalls I see in people that love tools is they, or any kind of an item, is they collect anything that's on sale, anything that runs on power, anything that's big and shiny.
Right.
And it turns out that they really like the collecting part, not so much the using
part. The using part, yeah.
And so for people who really, really use their tools, and it's not a rationalization, buy the tools. You're making a living in it, whatever, buy it.
Yeah.
But even people who make a living will tell you when they're doing a job where they're only going to use that tool once or twice, they go rent it.
They'll go rent there's it for no, the job. Yeah.
Well, there's no point in trying to pay for it by buying it.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that furniture stuff. Like, oh, you know, rent to own your furniture.
Yes.
So I went out onto the internet and I just grabbed one quick thing, one 50-inch television. I looked at several rent sites. They all seem about the same. They charge you by the week because that sounds affordable. You have to remember that there's 4.3 weeks in a month.
Mm-hmm.
So your $25 weekly payment is really $108 a month.
Over the month, right.
Doesn't sound like a lot, but it adds up. So they advertise 90 days, same as cash.
Yes.
So this 50-inch TV cost about $1,300 if you paid for it in 90 days.
Right.
$1,299 and change. If you paid for it over the term of their loan, which is 80 months, for those of you doing the math, 6.5 years to pay for your 50-inch television, which probably will be outdated in 6.5 years, then you would repay $1,999. So, you know, you're talking about a $700 increase over the course of 6.5 years. But here's the exception that I take to this. If you go out onto the internet and you just find the thing brand new, not even used, brand new off of any website, it's about $500. When they say 90 days, same as cash, first thing you should do is check it out. Is that the same as cash?
Right.
So I promised to tell you what to do if you feel like you're stuck in that.
Right. What if you're in a rental agreement right now and you're feeling like, boy, I'm stuck here. I'm paying too much.
Well, if you are, you can talk to them about what your options are about getting out.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm thinking of is more the market they prey on is people with bad credit. And they say, but you're going to get great credit because you're going to pay us every month. While that may be true, you are paying a real premium for that. So what you could do instead is you could get a secured credit card. Now, if you're thinking, well, I can't, my credit's not good enough to be qualified, you don't need to be. You stick, let's say, $250 in an account, just as an example, but some of them are up to a $5,000 limit and probably more, but I've seen up to $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Put the money in the account. Some companies will match it, you know, like just $250 is what your credit limit is.
Some
will double it. And many now will give you cash back, give you all the kinds of features that you get on other credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
Some have no annual fee. So the way that you could check that out is you could go on the internet and search for it. I recommend a site called creditcards.com. I'm not affiliated with it, but they have a bunch of different credit cards available. And you can search by poor credit, fair credit, no credit, whatever you need to search by. And then if you don't pay your bill on time, they will take the money you put in. That's why why you're approved immediately.
That's your security, yeah.
That's right. But essentially, after having that for a short period of time, your credit is going to start to be good.
Right.
And you will be able to qualify for another kind of credit card, or better yet, to start saving some money and buy it in cash, which I really love. But I understand, you know, we live in a society where you can't always buy everything in cash.
Right. All right. Dr. Frances Rehm is the Money Doctor of Power Down Debt and Power Up Retirement. She joins us every week here on the show. If people have any questions about this or any segment, they can always reach out to you.
Of course. 413-774-5555 or on the web at powerdowndebt.com.